Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Christ is our miss.
He is our shopping.
And welcome to those who are joining us online this morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So a man calls his son and tells him after 45 years of marriage he was going to divorce his mom. The son pleads with his dad, "Please no, Dad. Please, please no." Dad is pretty much, "I said what I said. Just call your sister in Hong Kong and tell her the same for me." The son calls his sister and she's very upset. 10 minutes later, the phone rings. It's his daughter. "Daddy, don't do anything rash. My brother and I are flying home for Christmas and we will talk." Dad simply said, "Okay," hung up the phone. He goes into the kitchen, tells his wife, "Honey, the kids are coming home for Christmas. And we don't have to pay for their plane fare." Putting together an elegant meal for friends is a big project. A lot of preparation goes in place, goes into the day, sending invitations, planning a menu, buying food, cleaning the house, creating the right atmosphere with lighting, ambiance, decorations, and music. Expectations for the evening are high. The day comes, you cook all day in the kitchen, you set the table. You get your shower, you put on your formal attire, and now your phone rings. "Hey man, I worked all day out in the sun. I'm really wiped out. Please have me excused." A few minutes later, the phone rings again. "Gosh man, there's a new movie out tonight, and this girl I just met really wants to see. I hope you would have me excused." Then the phone rings a third time. "I just bought a new car. I want to go cruising. Please excuse me." How do you feel? You feel rejected. You're hurt. You're crushed. All this work and your guests blow you off. This is the story of today's gospel. We just heard the parable of the great banquet. The great banquet is the coming of Christ into the world. And those who missed the banquet are the people of Israel, who did not receive the Messiah. And today, on the second Sunday before the Holy Forefathers, the second Sunday before Nativity, our loving mother, the church, prepares us today to receive the newborn Messiah. Thank you. Today we commemorate the Holy Forefathers and Foremothers, because it was through the nation of Israel, beginning with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Samuel, and all the prophets, and all the many, many other holy ones of Israel, that through their preaching and teaching actions, God prepared the world for the incarnation of the Son of God. It is only then in the fullness of time that Christ could be born of a pious Jewish virgin named Mary in Bethlehem. Any second before then, the world was not yet ready. And according to today's parable, Christmas Day is the banquet. On Christmas Day, our Lord becomes one with us. Over his glory, he puts on a robe of flesh. He joins us in our experiences of life, both its joys and its sufferings. In today's parable, it appears also in Matthew and is recorded as a wedding banquet. In a marriage supper, and the commentators take and connect this with the Eucharistic celebration and in eternity, the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Revelations we read, "Let us rejoice and exult and give glory, for the marriage of the Lamb," which is of course Christ, "has come, and his bride," which is you and I, the church, "has made herself ready." And the angel said to John, the apostle John, the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." This is you and I. We are invited to this feast. You and I are God's guests. This building here is God's banquet hall. Here we foretaste the eternal marriage supper. That is why we have this icon behind the altar, the communion of the apostles. That icon is what we are doing here every Sunday, every feast day. We join them in what is the eternal marriage supper of the Lamb. That icon there is called the communion of the apostles, but it's the same thing. Now, I want us to see something very poignant. 3 years after, 3 months, I'm sorry, after God led Israel out of Egypt, God called Moses to the top of Mount Sinai. We all know the story. When Moses ascends the mountain, he encounters God. A cloud comes down and God comes down upon a mountain, and it's the glory of God. The top mountaintop is filled with God. And Israelites, they look up and they see the smoke, they see lightning, they see thunder, they see the presence of God up there. Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And over that time, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the law, the pattern of the tabernacle, how to worship, more accurately, how to liturgize, how to do basically what we're doing today. When Moses descends the mountain, the Israelites could not look at him. His face was transfigured from being in the presence of God. Moses met God on that mountaintop. He spent 40 days with him, and his life was changed. Moses was filled with the glory of God. Moses was transfigured. Again, no one could look at him. Abbot Sergius of St. Tikhon's Seminary, who may someday be a bishop, he's just an amazing man, excellent teacher, commenting on the liturgy, said this: "There is nothing more holier, higher and grander, more solemn, more life-giving than the divine liturgy. In the divine liturgy, we have no lesser event than God's descent upon Mount Sinai, but even a greater one. Our encounter, brothers and sisters, in the liturgy with God is not less than Moses had with God on Mount Sinai. Think about it. Just as God descended on Mount Sinai in a cloud and appeared in an all-consuming fire, God descends here. We say, oh Lord, send down your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts. He descends onto here, upon us. And just as Moses was affected, his life was changed, he was transfigured, he was changed, we are changed. The loving church, the church, our loving mother, she cares for us. She nurtures us. She leads us. And there's a rhythm, a liturgical cycle to the church. If we enter this rhythm, we'll enter into the life of God, the heartbeat of God. Through participating in the liturgy on a regular basis, the heartbeat, and we could say Vespers, Matin service, and here's the teaching: imperceptibly, gradually, little by little, day by day, the more that we do this, the more that we enter into the life of God. Think about that. The more to do this, the more we enter into the life of God. Mother Raphael says this: when we enter into Christ's life, God gradually leads to live his own life in us as well. So if we do this, we enter into God's life, God's life enters to us. And in the most gentle, loving, and most beautiful way, little by little in us, God changes our lives. We begin to think and live more like Christ and acquire more of the mind of Christ. As Moses was changed, brothers and sisters, we are changed. And let me say this. We all live very busy lives. It's really hard always to get to church. Some of us live pretty far away. I really, 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 really respect all those who drive. Some of us drive over an hour one way to church. I really, really respect that. I honor it. And we have all have things pulling our time. We're always given ample excuses to skip church. I mean, today was a rainy day. You're all here. God bless you. I remember as a kid, sometimes when it poured rain in New York, church was empty. St. John of Kronstadt says this about our busyness and making excuses and stuff like that. And St. John of Kronstadt was a modern priest, recent priest. If one was to put all the precious things we could add, activities, everything else on a scale, on the scale. Everything that we do, all the things that are calling for us, our jobs, our careers, and everything else. And then we would put the divine liturgy on the other side. It would go like that, because it's so much more important. The scales would tip completely, in his words, the divine liturgy. So, brothers and sisters, every Sunday, every feast day, every liturgy, it's not us, but God prepares the banquet for us. He sets the table, he lights the candles. Well, the servers light the candles for God. And the saints and angels gather with us in this room. And the ambiance is perfect. And again, Father Sergius, there's nothing more holier, higher, and grander, more solemn than this, the life-giving liturgy. We are God's guests here. Let's try our best to not make excuses. Let us do our best, brothers and sisters, in the coming year to enter fully, as much as that we can, into the life of God, into his heartbeat, into the services. You know, before we know it, it's going to be Lent. Christmas is finishing up. We'll have a great feast next week. And then before we know it, we'll be preparing for Lent, and it'll be Lent. Again, Mother Raphael, when we enter into Christ's life, God gradually begins to live his life in us as well. And because it's Christmas, I'll mention this too. Christ, our bread of life, is born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Bethlehem is here. You know, people, like in their nativity scenes, look at the manger as being like some kind of baby crib. It's literally a food trough. The teaching is the chalice is our food trough. The chalice is the manger. St. Nicholas Cabisalis, I can't remember how to say his name. He's a great commentator on the liturgy. He says this: what is the kingdom if not this holy bread and this holy cup? Wow. Through your prayers, and Holy Fathers. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us and save us.